lives and in our activities. Hey, we want to help you have just a great kickoff to the school year. So for our families, every one of you here, we'd love for you to be back here at 3:30 or shortly after, as quick as you can. Be back to the building here at about 3:30. We're going to have some food together and just have some good time of visiting and everything, and leading up to our 5 o'clock service, when you're going to hear Brother Rodney Partee has prepared a special lesson just for us. You'll want to be here for that, and that's this evening. Okay, get back here around 3:30, we'll get started eating just about that time. If you want to come a little early, the building will be open, of course, and you can do a little extra visiting, but we want to spend some time together before we get into that busy time of school. A few of you know that what started off as a kind of a hobby for me has turned into something, a little more than that. But years ago, I began to become interested in seeing about collecting and growing things that people just tend to not grow anymore. Oh, they grow it, but they use the hybrid, the new developed stuff. And y'all know me. I was born 150 years too early. I like the old stuff. And so I began to collect seed from old stuff. Stuff people don't know about. Some of the first I collected was from a lady who went to church with us 40 years ago. Her name was Gladys Stoker. And one day she invited me to her home for lunch. Boy, and she had some of the best green beans I had ever tasted. And in the course of conversation, I said to her, "Sister Stoker, what kind of green beans are?" She said, "I don't know." She said, "They've been handed down from my grandparents to my parents to me, and that kind of thing." And I said, "Well, I'd love to have some. And she gave me some of the seed. And I grow it. I grow it, and I always save back the seed. This year, I got some different kind of peas from a gentleman that's a good friend of mine, up in Valonia. He invited me over, and we're visiting and talking, and he's shelling peas, and I thought, that's a strange-looking pea. And from that, I got some more. I got some seed. You know, the Bible talks a lot about sowing and planting. I mean, think about it. Then the Apostle Paul in Galatians chapter 6 said, "Be careful what you sow," didn't he? Because whatever you sow, that's what you're gonna reap. And that's just one instance. Jesus, in talking about his crucifixion, and how that he's alluding to the fact, you probably can't believe that I could be the Messiah, that I could become your Redeemer and Savior by dying. But he said, even a kernel of corn, except it fall to the ground and die, cannot bring forth fruit. He used that example. A grain of mustard seed, the smallest of the seed in the garden, he said. That's what the kingdom of heaven is like. A man plants it, the smallest, it grows into something grand. Over and over and over again, this idea of sowing and planting comes back. In Mark chapter 4, Jesus is beginning his personal ministry, verse number 1. He's beginning his personal ministry, and he began to teach by the seaside. And there was gathered unto him a great multitude, so that he entered into a ship. And he sat in the sea, and the whole multitude was by the sea on land. So we get this picture of Jesus sitting in this ship in the sea. The multitude gathered around by the seaside, maybe kind of a natural amphitheater type situation, but they could all hear him. And he taught them, verse 2, and he taught them many things by parables, and unto them in his doctrine. Here's what he said: "Hearken, Listen. Listen. You know, I just heard something that maybe you didn't hear. I just heard a child kind of crying. You know what? To us, that's music to our ears. How would you like to be a part of a congregation where there were no children? There are those out there. Now, to a mama, whoo, that carries a whole different connotation, doesn't it? Oh, I know Angel, she gets all nervous and frustrated when the baby starts getting restless and those kind of things. I'm sitting there thinking, I'm just glad that kid is in here. Well, that's music to our ears. But sometimes we hear things, but it doesn't even register with us. Have you noticed that? Hey, most of the time, that wouldn't register with me. But this morning, my Sadie is sick. And she's not in worship. And I'm thinking to myself, boy, if she is in worship and she is acting up, I'd be telling her mama, leave her alone. She's where she needs to be. She's among God's people. That's music to our ears. But sometimes we hear, but we don't hear. Jesus is saying that. And in fact, he'll say those kind of words right at the end of this parable, won't he? He that hath ears to hear. Well, you mean there's some people that don't have ears? Oh, they got ears. They got ears and for the purpose of hearing, but they got ears. And then there are those that have ears to hear. Listen, he says. Hearken. Listen. Behold, there went out a sower to sow. Now, these people understood. These people lived in a society, an agrarian, a farming society, and they understood what Jesus was talking about when he talked about a sower going out to sow. We plant ours in rows now, you know, every 2 or 3 inches apart. We haven't got machines to do that for us in some instances. But in those days, a sower went out to sow. He went out with a bag, or perhaps he pulled his robe up and the seed was full of that. And he put his hand in and he broadcast the seed. A sower went out to sow. Now, you don't need to know Greek to understand your Bible. But the New Testament was written in Greek. And sometimes to look at it in the Greek just gives you some insight that you don't get just by reading the English translation. This word that's translated, a sower went out to sow, the Greek word that is translated to sow means to extend a hand. Think about it. That's exactly what he was doing. Extending a hand. And that sower knew full well that not every seed that he sowed was going to produce. He understood that as he sowed. He understood that. Remember Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and then over into chapter 9 in talking about our giving said, remember now, it's like sowing. That he that soweth sparingly will reap sparingly. If you sow a little, you're only going to get a little. If you sow bountifully, you'll reap bountifully. If you sow a lot, you expect to get back a lot. These sowers, they went out and they extended the hand. And as they threw out that seed, they recognized not every kernel of seed, every seed is going to produce. So you spread a lot. You sow a lot. And that way you get a bountiful harvest. So Jesus is talking to people who understand this. He tells them this parable. He says, a sower went out to sow. It came to pass, as he sowed, some fell by the wayside. And the fowls of the earth came and they devoured it up. Some fell on stony ground, where it had much earth, and immediately it sprang up because it had no depth of the earth. But when the sun was come up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. Then some fell among the thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no fruit. And others fell on good ground, and it did yield fruit. That sprang up and increased and brought forth some 30, some 60, and some 100-fold. And he said unto them, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Let him hear. Jesus uses these simple little stories. In fact, that's kind of a definition over time that we've given to parables. It's an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. So Jesus tells these little stories. Isn't it interesting? I love this about the disciples. I'm in verse number 10 now. Verse 10 says, and when he was alone, they that were about him with the 12 asked him of the parable. They come to him and what did that mean? Have you ever been there? Have you ever been in a situation where, you know, something was being discussed, a teacher was doing some teaching, and you had not a clue? I mean, it just, right over your head, but everybody else seemed to get it. But you didn't. I remember, I was taking math class once in college. Now, you got to remember, you know, I was 40 years old. And I'm in there with 19, 20, 21-year-olds. I'm in this upper math class. And they start talking about a thing called a factorial. I had not a clue. What do you do in a situation like that? Do you wait till class is over and then go to the teacher? Or do you chance it? Do you chance it? Do you ask, hey, excuse me, what are you talking about? I'll tell you what I did. I was one of those that was always one of these. Hey, he may get busy after class. This may be on test, right? What are you talking about? Now, I know what a factorial is now. Y'all want to know? That's what I thought. I know what a factorial is now, but I wouldn't have known had I never have asked. And I'm sitting there thinking, everybody else in this class is a genius. What am I doing in here? Factorial. Jesus, what does this, what does that parable mean? And Jesus tells him, you know, about parables, a little bit about parables. And I want to look at verse 13. Jesus asked him a question. He said unto them, this is King James now. He said unto them, know ye not this parable? And how then will you know all parables? I think it's the New Living Translation. Translates like this. If you don't understand this story, how are you ever going to understand the other stories I tell you? That makes this an important story then, doesn't it? If you don't understand this parable, how are you going to understand the other parables I'm about to tell you? But Jesus doesn't leave them. He tells them the meaning of this parable. This is one of those we know the meaning of, right? We know the meaning of. Verse 14, the sower sows the word. The sower sows the word. It's Luke 8:11 that says, the seed of the kingdom is the word of God. You know, there's one thing I learned from trying to collect these ancient seeds. These, y'all call them ancient. These old seeds that our parents, grandparents, great-grandparents used to plant. From trying to collect these seeds, that unless I can get my hand on a seed, I'm never going to have one of them. Now that sounds dumb, right? It is. I don't have to be smart to figure this out. If I'm ever going to have a crop of those, I got to somehow have some seed. Without the seed, I'm never going to have a crop. Never. going to have a crop. The seed is the word of God. The sower sows the word. You know, every one of us are the product of the seed. Listen to Peter. This is 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 13. Being born again, are you a Christian? Were you born again? Being born again, not of corruptible seed, not a seed that, you know, can rot away, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible. He said, the flesh of man is as the grass of the field, and the flower thereof is the glory of man. He says, the grass withereth, the flower fadeth. Listen now. But the word of God endures forever. You're a product of the seed. You're a product of seed. And that seed is the word of God. Now, what does seed... Let's just say, I call them the Stoker bean. That's what I call it because I got it from Sister Stoker. Let's say I take one of those Stoker beans and the life's still in it, and I plant it. What am I going to get? What do you think I'm going to get? I'm going to get that Stoker bean, right? How many? Have you ever thought about that? You can plant one pea seed, right? You plant one pea seed, you expect to get one pea seed back. What do you expect to get? You expect to get a pod, right? And it may have a dozen seed in there, right? Are you listening? Listen up, Jesus would say. Listen, have you got ears to hear? You're a product of the seed. So the seed was planted. You, in your heart, it came up. Hopefully now it's going to produce fruit, right? It's going to produce fruit. Would you expect it to produce? What would you expect it to produce? What did it make out of you? Made you a Christian, didn't it? What would you expect it to produce in your life? Other Christians. How many others? One? At least one, right? At least one, but... Hey, by all rights, the sower's got the right to expect that through you, lots of other Christians are going to be produced, right? One pea seed, 12 other seed. See, all I got to do is get my hand on one good seed. Just one good seed, that's all I got to do. In fact, Sister Stoker went out there and she picked off two pods. She brought them back to me, she said, let those dry. And you'll have seed. I don't know. They make a little short bean. There may be eight seed in them. I don't know. Maybe eight when they're mature. Maybe eight seeds. So I had 16. I got bags of them now. I got bags of them. Where'd they come from? They come from eight seed. And not all of them, I'm sure not all of them produced. But the ones that did made more than I started with. They produced more. But here's a fact now. Here's a fact. You got to have seed. Or you're never going to get there. You got to have seed. But we have the seed. It's the word of God. But that seed's got to be sown into your heart. In order for it to produce more, it's got to be sown into your heart. This is the reason we do not apologize. By saying, you need to be in a Bible class. You need to be in a Bible class because you need that seed in you so that it can be planted through you into others. We make no apology. You need to be in Bible class. Your children need to be in Bible class. Every one of us. We don't just have them to take up time. They are that important. They are that critical. It's that essential. It's more important than math class. It's more important than history. It's more important than science. It's more important. Because there's only one way you can be born again, and that's by the seed. not being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, which is the Word of God. So if you're not in those Bible classes, you need to, you don't need to just think about it. You've been thinking about it too long. You need in there. You got to be in there. You got to be in there because we have to be reproducing. We have to be reproducing. And you're a seed. That seed has been planted in you, comes up. Hey, you may be like some of those peas I planted. He ended up with one seed in it. But at least there was one seed in it. In that pod, there was one. I could plant that one. And all things right, I'd get at least one more. But I really think I'll get more than that. I do. The sower sows the seed. And he tells that, you know, we're familiar with this. Hopefully we are. We're familiar with this. But these are from the words of Jesus. Hearken now, listen up. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. The sower sows the seed, or sows the word, and these are they that by the wayside, where the word is sown. But when they've heard, Satan comes immediately, and he takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. And these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who, when they heard the word, immediately they received it with gladness, and they have no root in themselves, and so they endure but for a time. Afterward, when affliction or persecution arises, for the word's sake, immediately they're offended. And these are they which are sown among the thorns, such as hear the word. And the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, the lust of things entering in, choke the word. And it becometh unfruitful. And these are they which are sown on good ground. Such as hear the word and receive it and bring forth fruit, some 30, some 60, and some 100-fold. Jesus says, that's what the kingdom of heaven's like. That's what it's like. A sower extends his hand. As he does, he full well knows that not everything he sows is going to produce, but some's going to fall on good ground. And when it does, what's it going to produce? More than was planted, right? Let me read that for you again. Verse number 20, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100-fold. More than was planted. Some's going to fall on good soil. Now, two applications, and we're out of here. Application number one for us to realize and understand. The condition of the soil, that's God's business. The condition of the soil. I can't make it good soil. Oh, I might try to encourage it toward good soil and I might work on it a little bit, but hey, if it's going to be good soil, it's not going to be on my doing. See, he's talking about the hearts of men. And I can't change your heart. If I could, I would. That's God's business. And we need to be careful not to get into God's business. Okay? Sometimes we do. Sometimes we do. And we make up our minds. Well, now that person's heart, that's good soil. And that person's heart over there, they're not good soil. I'm not going to sow over there. Is that the way that sower sowed? He sowed everywhere. Why? Because he couldn't tell whether it was good soil or not. So he just sowed everywhere. He just extended a hand to everyone. And he sowed to everyone. See, folks, we're not the judge. We don't get to determine whether that soil is good or not. That brings me to the second point. The condition of the soil, that's God's business. That's God's business. The sowing, now that's our business. That's our business. We're to sow. Sow where? Sow everywhere. That's what this sower did, didn't he? He sowed everywhere. He sowed by the wayside. Some fell by the wayside. Some fell on stony ground. Well, isn't that a waste of seed? No. No, because you don't know. Some fell among thorns. You're wasting seed again. No. No, because you don't ever know. But some is going to fall on good soil. You just got to sow. You got to extend the hand. You got to do that. And where do you sow? You sow everywhere. You sow everywhere. So here's our application. The condition of the soil, that's God's business. The sowing, that's our business. We got to have the seed, right? But the seed's available. It's the Word of God. It's the Word of God. Now, it's got to get in there, right? It's got to get in there. You got to have it. You got to have it. You can't sow seed you don't have. You say, well, I don't know enough. Then learn. Get in those Bible classes and learn. Don't use that excuse. Learn. Get it in there. Get it in there. And then sow it. Sow it where? Sow it everywhere. Sow it everywhere. And don't worry. Don't worry necessarily about those things. About those things. Some's going to fall by the wayside. Some's going to fall on stony ground. And some's going to fall among the thorns and the thistles. But some's going to fall on good ground, on good soil. So just so. Just so. I want to end with this. Do you know this parable, this that Jesus tells here is so important that it's included in three of the four gospel accounts? It's found in Matthew chapter 13, it's found here in Mark chapter 4, and it's found in Luke chapter 8. The principle is in a lot of other places. But this particular thing, this particular parable, earthly story with a heavenly meaning. It's so important that it's included in three of the four gospel accounts. The one that gives us the most detail is the one that's probably found in Matthew. So look with me for just a moment, Matthew chapter 13. In Matthew 13, Jesus told this parable of the sower. And then hot on the heels of it, I mean right behind it, same setting, they're in the same place, same audience, same group, everything's the same. Jesus tells a second parable. So there's probably some connection in the mind of Jesus between the parable of the sower and the very next parable that he tells. And so, if you would, read with me beginning in verse 24. He's just, the parable of the sower that we just talked about is in down through verse 23. Here's the second parable, hot on the heels of it. Another parable put forth he unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat, and went his way. When the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the servants of the householder came and said unto him, sir, didn't you sow good seed in your field? Then where did these tares come from? He said unto them, an enemy has done this. The servants said unto him, do you want us to go out and to gather them up? And he said, no, because if you gather up the tares, you'll root up the wheat also. Let them both grow together until the harvest. And in the time of harvest, I'll say to the reapers, gather you together first the tares and bind them into bundles and burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. Now, why did Jesus tell that? Have you ever noticed the difference between the attitude of the servants and the attitude of the master in this parable? What did the servants see? The servants were concerned about the tares, weren't they? They're concerned about the tares. What was the master concerned about? The harvest. Right? I mean, if you left it up to the servants, they'd go out there and they'd have pulled up all those tares and there'd have been no harvest. Isn't that what the master said? There'd have been no harvest. But the master is concerned about the harvest. See, he's saying directly to the people he's teaching then and now, all these years later, this message is the same for me and for you. Because here's what we tend to do. We tend to focus on the wrong things. It's human nature. We tend to focus on the wrong things. We tend to focus on the tares. We tend to focus on the tares. When the master is concerned about the harvest. But if you ask us, oh, do you know what this one's doing? Do you know what that one's doing? Hey, here, hey, there. Oh, all of this stuff. Oh, look at the way it's going on. What's going on in the world and in the church. Look what's happening. We focus on the tares. Okay, let's clean it up. Let's clean this mess up. We start cleaning it up. Hey, okay. All right. Clean it up. Where's your harvest? Where's your harvest? The Lord is concerned about the harvest. He sowed, the sower went out and sowed good seed. Is there an enemy that's at work among us? Is there? You go out and you sow good seed. The enemy says, oh, he sowed good seed. I better leave him alone. Is that the way Satan works? No. Satan's out there working harder than we are. An enemy has done this. An enemy. But we're surprised when tares come up. And all we can see is tares. And because of that, we get busy trying to deal with the tares and we quit sowing the seed. Could that be the message that Jesus is trying to convey to his disciples? Is, hey, there are plenty of obstacles to sowing. And this may be one of them. That there's an enemy out there who, for all the good seed you sow, is out there sowing tares. And if you're not careful, you'll take your eyes off the harvest. Because the only way you're ever going to have a harvest is if you do what? If you got seed, right? That's the only way. And if that seed is sown, that's the only way you're ever going to have a harvest. But you get your eyes on the tares, and you're worried about dealing with the tares, and you're no longer doing the sowing. Does this make halfway sense to anybody but me? Oh, I thought there's somebody in here with me. I'm going to ask you again, does this make any kind of sense at all? That if you're concerned about the church and it not growing, what's the answer? Sow more seed. And that seed is the Word of God. And you can't sow what you don't have. So get in those Bible classes. Learn. So you've got the seed to sow. And then extend the hand. To who? To everybody. Extend the hand. Let the Lord worry about the soul. That's His business. You worry about the sowing. The sowing. And yes, there's an enemy out there. There's an enemy out there. I give you a real personal illustration, then I'm through. I've been visiting with a relative for several weeks. A couple of weeks ago, I said to him, it's time. You know enough. It's time for you to be baptized. He made his excuse. It had to do with his wife. He was afraid of how she was going to look at things. I said, I'll tell you what. I'm going to be back next week. If between now and then you decide you want to be baptized, I'd be honored to help you. But I'm going to come back next week and I'm going to ask you again. And you're going to either say yes or no. Yes or no. So last Sunday afternoon was my week to go back. Or it was really more than a week. I'd been under the weather a little bit, as some of you know. So it was a few days late. I went back last Sunday afternoon. Well, he had talked to his wife. They had decided between them. Hey, is every seed I sow going to come up? No. I'll just quit then. That seed didn't come up. I'll just quit. Don't sow anymore. We can't have that attitude. I'm not in control of the soil. That's God's business. And understand, there's an enemy. Always at work. Trying to keep that seed from becoming what God intends for it to become. God will take care of that as well. Won't he? He'll take care of that as well. What we got to do is sow. So my encouragement to us as a church this week is extend a hand. In fact, I put it on that sign right out there. So every time you drive away from this building, if you don't do anything else, if you can read, you're going to see extend a hand. That's my encouragement for us today. Maybe there's some who've had the seed, the Word of God, planted in your heart. And it's a good heart. It's taken root. You're ready now to become a fruitful child of God. If you're here, you're ready to become a Christian, we're ready to help you. That's what we're all about. We're ready to help you. You just need to let us know. We're going to give you the opportunity. Maybe you're here, you're a child of God. But hey, cares of this world can get you, can't they? Riches can get you. Pleasure can get you. It can happen. Jesus said it could. Listen to him. I think he's as smart as you are. What do you think? Listen to him. Maybe you need to return to your first love. You need to repent and ask God's forgiveness. If you feel us praying with you, for you, can help you with that, we'll do that too. You let us know if you've got needs, but do that by making your way to the front. Do it now. It's together. We stand and sing.